And I invite you to come with me nearly to the front of the book. We've spent some time in Genesis, and now we are ready for the Exodus, the book about a great big journey. But before the journey can begin, we need to understand a little bit about the cast of characters, and one in particular. Today we begin our sermon series about Moses, learning a little bit more about him, delving into a little bit of his character, and we get a little glimpse of who he is from his very beginnings. To open this up, understand that there is a Pharaoh who is leery of all of these Hebrew slaves, the power that they seem to hold. And in his fear, Pharaoh has already decreed that all of the Hebrew male children are to be killed at birth. But there are two midwives, two brave women named Shiprah and Puah, who have already been disobeying. And so there are already some young male Hebrew children growing up. And that sets the stage for the fact that there's going to be some civil disobedience here. And there's going to be the power of love and violence. We're really going to be exploring power in this reading and in our meditation today, how we use it and the different faces of it. But let's learn a little bit more about Moses for now. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his kinsfolk. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he said to the one who was in the wrong, "Why do you strike your fellow Hebrew?" He answered, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." Here ends the reading. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, as we hear these words, may they take root in our heart, that we may be not only hearers of your word, but doers of your will. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I told you that we would be talking about power, and the power that I see in this reading is one that flips back and forth between violence and love. And I guess we're going to be taking some time to think about which one ultimately is the more powerful, which one lasts the longest. But I begin with a scripture from the Talmud, from the Mishnah. Sanhedrin 4:5. Whoever destroys a soul, it is considered as if he destroyed an entire world. And whoever saves a life, It is considered as if he saved an entire world. Just let those words soak in a minute as we think about what we've just heard or read. We begin with the power of destruction and violence. That Pharaoh, in his fear, seeks to end the men of a race of people. He's worried because after 400 years, all of these Hebrews who came down at Pharaoh, the old Pharaoh's invitation, as Joseph was his second in command, have taken root. They've found wives. They've made families, and those families have spread out and out and out. And Pharaoh, this new Pharaoh, saw a great source of labor. So he said, "I've got some things to be built here. Let's get these people to do it." Well, even the forced labor was not breaking the Hebrew spirits. They just kept having children. They were strong. They were faithful. And Pharaoh thought, this has to end, or they're going to rise up and they're going to stop me. They're going to overthrow my government and me. And so he made that fateful decision to destroy the Hebrew boy babies. And then there is this new boy baby. And here we begin to see a new kind of power. First, the power of the hardly ever named Shiprah and Puah, who would save the other babies and maybe gave this mother an idea. So when this little baby was born, and he was a boy, she held on to him, loved him, cared for him for 3 months, until he was old enough that he was beginning to be known. You can keep a newborn who sleeps hours at a time a little bit quieter, but this one was beginning to make his presence known, and she knew that he was going to be in danger. And so, in love, she made an ark for him. That's the translation of basket in the Hebrew. That just like Noah set out with all of the creation on stormy waters, this mother put the most precious gift she had, this little boy baby, into this tiny ark and set it afloat on the Nile and prayed that he would find a safe passage. Just to be sure, bigger sister was standing on the bank. We know her name in later chapters as Miriam. And she was standing there just wanting to make sure that little brother was going to be okay. Well, he came to rest in a clump of reeds, and it just so happened that someone of power was coming down to bathe. Pharaoh's daughter, attended by all of her women, had come down and saw this strange sight. And she, a powerful woman, had a choice as she opened up that basket. Because you'll notice, if you look at that verse, she knew exactly who he was. Whether he looked a little bit different, whether he was wrapped in a blanket that maybe gave his identity away, can't be sure. But this daughter, this powerful woman who held the power of life and death in her hands, made a different choice than her father had. She saw a Hebrew boy baby and felt pity, which is one of the kernels of love. And she saved him. She drew him up out of that basket and held him as he cried, and then listened as a Hebrew girl came up and said, "Say, would you like a wet nurse for that baby? Would you like me to go and get one of the Hebrew women?" And then Pharaoh's daughter sealed Moses' fate. She said, "Yes, let's keep this boy alive. Go and bring one who will be able to help him. And so for the next 2-3 years, whenever it was that within that culture that a child would have been weaned, Moses' own mother had a chance to watch him learn and grow, to teach him and listen to him laugh, watch him walk for the first time. And then, when the day came, in love, in the powerful, amazing power of love, she let go of her son and let him go to the one who would be able to raise him and keep him safe. So he went back to Pharaoh's daughter, was called Moses, because the literal meaning, of course, is that he was drawn out of the water, but the deeper meaning of the Hebrew is that he was saved, or savior, redeemer, a foreshadowing of who Moses might yet become. But as we discover, Moses, who was raised in this culture of violence and love, both things seeming to be equally powerful, equally present in his life, Moses, as an adult, still had to learn where his power truly lay. And as we see, starting in verse 11, he thought that power was who got a chance to overthrow whom. We can guess that he must have known that he was Hebrew, because as he was walking, he was free to watch everybody else working, but he knew that these were his kinsfolk. And he saw one of them being bullied by an Egyptian overseer, and he took action. He had power. One of the Hebrew slaves could not have stepped in and said, "Hey, stop that. Stop beating that guy," without probably receiving beating or death himself. Everybody else was standing away. Everyone else seemed to be gone, because we see Moses kind of furtively looking side to side. Anybody see me? Nope. So he went up to that overseer and overpowered him, killed him, and on some level knew that the power that he had just wielded was an unnatural, unhealthy power, because he hid the evidence. He didn't go back home to his adopted mother and say, "Hey, look what I did. I stood up for my own people. There was an awful overseer today, and I noticed what he was doing, and I got rid of him." No. He wielded that violent power of death, as Pharaoh had done before him. He acted out of fear, ultimately fear. And then when he went back, he ended up reaping the whirlwind of that fear, because he saw two Hebrews fighting with one another. And in his power, I mean, he got a chance to have this kind of a voice. He said, "Hey, cut it out." And one of them, recognizing a fellow Hebrew, said, "What's the matter with you? What are you going to do? Who made you king? Who gave you this power over us? What are you going to do? Are you going to kill me the way that you killed that other guy?" And then Moses understood another kind of power. The power of a word to destroy. The power of one's reputation and all that you think you have crumbling into that sand. And Moses was afraid. If we continued in the reading, we would find out that Pharaoh got wind of this as well and sought to kill Moses. So Moses, given the attractiveness of power, chose violence, while those who had brought him to that moment of power and maturity and life had exercised another kind of power, the power of love. The power that seeks life rather than death. The power that is willing to give of itself to enable another to have life and greater power, to be able to step out. Pharaoh's daughter, Miriam, Moses' mother, all used their power to love, to form, to shape this Hebrew baby into the one who one day would redeem his people. But as we leave him here, our Moses has a lot to learn. A lot to learn about the way that power can be wielded. But there is power in love. There is power in invitation. And the one who wielded the greatest power of all, our God, who chose to take on human flesh, to come as the one we knew as Jesus of Nazareth, understood that there is power in community and in fellowship. And when he knew that he was going to be away from his disciples, from his people, for a very long time, except by the power of the Holy Spirit, he gathered them together. And he told them that there was a meal that they needed to have together. And I would invite you to share in that meal with me.